Welcome to the Sarah Centrella Show. Join best-selling author, master life coach, and manifesting expert Sarah Centrella as she shares tips, tools, and inspiring interviews to help you create your dream life. It's time to hustle and thrive. Now, here's your host, Sarah Centrella.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Sarah Centrella Show. So glad to have you here as always. And today I have brief, short coaching episode for you all on lessons I have learned over the last 7 years as an entrepreneur business owner. So this week I marked my 7 year business anniversary or business birthday. It almost slipped by without me realizing it. And then all of a sudden I was like, wait a second, this is February 20th and holy cow, I cannot believe it's been 7 years since I started on this journey. So it really got me thinking about a lot of the lessons that I have learned along the way. And if you've listened to the podcast, you know that I've always been really blunt and honest about the fact that being an entrepreneur is, I promise I wasn't going to say this word all year, so I'm not going to say the H word, but it's one of the most difficult things that I've ever done in my entire life, like straight up. And I have been through ridiculous amounts of adversity in my life. And being an entrepreneur is just next level. I think it's pretty dangerous the way that Instagram glorifies it and makes it sexy and makes you feel like you're not living your dream or your purpose if you have a job. And I just want to say, first and foremost, I hate that messaging. I think it's total bullshit and it's unfair and it's not representative of the truth. But I also want to say that if you do have a side hustle or a purpose and a passion, and you're very clear that you want to do it for a business, and you want to start your business or you're already a business owner, then amazing. I have tons of tips for you today because there definitely are people out there where this is the path for them no matter what. I, to be quite honest, never ever in my life thought it would be a path for me. I mean, I grew up in a generation where you go to college, you get a career, and you stay in that career. And ideally the career pays you a lot of money and you buy the house and all that stuff. And so for me, I always felt like I was failing at that because I went to multiple different colleges, didn't ever wind up getting a degree, have a massive amount of college debt still to this day, and really always kind of felt like a failure, even though I wound up having a really lucrative and respected corporate career. I had to work my way up from inside sales. For those of you who are in corporate or in sales, you kind of know that that is the bottom rung of the ladder. It's a very tough, tough job. You hear nothing but no for the most part. And you're on the phones 24/7. That's where I started. And I had a vision for what I wanted my life to be like. I had a vision for success, but everything that I was exposed to or everything that I saw said there was only one way to get that success. And it was to climb the ladder in corporate, make as much money as I possibly could, be the top salesperson. And that was it. That was the only path. And everyone that I knew that had what I would have considered a good life or a good job all had, you know, important careers. They all followed that model. And so it really was the only thing I ever thought about. I mean, I used to dream and envision myself in that corner office wearing the suit, the power suit, you know, carrying my briefcase. And that was the end all be all. And then my calling and passion started annoyingly tapping me on the shoulder. And I think a lot of you kind of know that story. I started as a blogger on my blog, Thought Stories Life. And I did that for about 7 years. And it wound up reaching a huge audience. It had about 4 million views a year by the time that I kind of left it. It still does really well. And I haven't written on it in years and years and years. But it was my side kind of passion. I initially just did it for myself. I did it to process my thoughts and my feelings. And then it started resonating with an audience all over the world. And that's really what launched my coaching career, is I just started responding to comments and responding to emails, and people were asking me for advice on manifesting, on life, on achieving goals, on, you know, how to get over money blocks, and all this stuff that I was learning and practicing in my own life and gaining success with. And in the beginning, I thought, well, you know, I'm doing this for free, so I don't know what I'm doing. That became a really good training ground for me to just, I had no idea I was doing it at the time, but just kind of learn what my own thought process was and kind of what my methods were and things like that. Over time, that led to me coaching, that led to me doing large cohorts where I did multiple international virtual coaching cohorts to test all of my theories and all of the steps that are in my books. And then it led to the big pivotal moment where on my final job, I just closed the biggest deal of my life, the biggest deal of the company's history. And 3 days after that, the bosses call me in and lay me off. And they laid me off to avoid having to pay the commission for this huge deal. And I remember driving home that day and just saying to myself over and over and over again, no one is ever going to have the power to take away my income again. No one is ever going to take food off my table for my kids. No one's ever going to strip away my security, my ability to take care of my family. That was the only thought I had the whole drive home. I thought, I don't know how to do this. I have no idea how to start a company or how to do this full time, but I'm never going to work for anybody else, because that gives someone the power to literally pull the rug out from under me at any given moment. And, you know, in my sales career, I'd been laid off before. And so I knew there was just never going to be any stability in it. If there wasn't stability when I closed the biggest deal of all time, there would never be stability. And I just thought, I want to control that. Whether I know what I'm doing or I don't, whether I'm good at this or I'm not, I want to figure out how to control that so I have that power and no one else does. And so I went home and immediately just began figuring out, okay, how do I turn this coaching thing into a business? And at that point, you know, any private clients that I had were all kind of referrals. I was working a lot with NBA and NFL athletes, and they were all referred. I was kind of in that network. I hadn't ever had to go out and get clients or look for clients or create programs or do any of the things you need to do as a business owner. And I remember thinking, well, it can't be that hard, right? You know, lots of people are doing it. Can't be that hard. I already had one book out, Hustle, Believe, Receive was out. This was 2017, February 2017. So I thought, it can't be that hard. I have this blog that is read all over the world. I have, you know, credibility. I've finished these big, huge cohorts and know the method works. All I have to do is flip a switch and say, now I'm taking clients, and boom, I'm going to be so busy and off to the races. And it's going to be shiny and pretty, just like on Instagram. And you guys know the story. It was anything but that. That first year was one of the most difficult years of my life financially. It was akin to the first year of after my divorce. I went from making six figures plus salary, plus commission, all of that. Benefits, everything, to not making a dime. I think that year in total, I booked like $17,000 worth of business for the whole year. And it tried me at every possible level. I thought, what am I doing? I don't know how to do this. You know, I would spend hours and hours and hours, and I would create a course and would think, okay, you know, all I have to do is create this course, and then I'm going to put this course up and hundreds of people are going to buy the course. And that's how you make money. And I would do it, and 15 people would buy the course. So I'd be like, oh, so I guess that's not how I make money. And then I would try another thing, and I would just put hours and hours and hours and hours and just endless amounts of time and effort into it. And it wouldn't be that successful either. And I just kept on running into all of these dead ends and just immense frustration. questioning every single day, am I doing the right thing? Am I crazy? I felt so guilty as a mom. And I'll just be honest, I felt so guilty as a mom because I had worked so hard in my corporate career. And in every job, I had raised my salary. You know, when I very first started, got my first job after my ex-husband left, my salary was like $42,000 a year. So poverty level for a family of four. By the time that I left, my base was like, you know, 150, 160 plus commission, plus everything else. So I was so proud of all that work that I had grown. I had, you know, gotten a management position. I was in high tech. I was very well respected, very well known in the industry. Had super high end clients in the industry as well. It was a big part of kind of my identity. I was respected. I was proud of the accomplishments that I had made. And then all of a sudden, it just felt like I had nothing. And I was starting over in a place that no one really knew what life coaching was or why anyone would want a life coach and, you know, what's manifesting and just kind of everything that I was doing and teaching was not as popular as it is today. We'll say that for sure. Was not as mainstream as it is today. So a big part of those first like couple years was education and just getting my stuff out there and getting over my own personal hangups, because I didn't even realize how much harder it was to say, yeah, I'm a life coach versus I'm a vice president of sales for a tech company. There was so much wrapped up in that for me. There was ego, there was all this other stuff. And I just thought, I don't know that I can do this. I don't know that I can be successful at it. I didn't know anything about starting a business. And there's so many components that no one tells you when it's all just shiny and pretty on Instagram, but there's so much to it. You need an operations system. You need an operations process. You need contracts. You need legal. You need payment processing. You need products. You need marketing. Good God, you need marketing till the end of time. You need PR. You need salespeople in some sort of capacity to get out there and help you get your name out. So there's just so much to it. There's a legal side. You have to file all your legal paperwork and all that kind of stuff. And it just felt incredibly overwhelming. And all those voices were in my head, just like they are in anyone else's head, thinking, finish college. I didn't even graduate college. What am I doing? You know, I couldn't get that business degree. Like, who am I to think I can start a business? This is crazy. I remember, you know, asking the universe or asking God, I was like, man, I need a sign. I'm going to give it 1 year. And if I don't get some traction or if I don't make some progress in that year, then I have to go get a job. It's unfair to my kids. I can't put my kids in a position where now they're suffering or don't, you know, have the financial ability that I had when I had a job. That's just not fair. So I had a lot of guilt kind of wrapped up in that. You know, me following my dream, is that kind of taking away from what I can provide for, offer for my kids? So I remember in November of that first year, just crying and crying and crying and trying so hard to work the stuff out and going back to my vision and why I was doing this and just asking the universe for a sign. And that was when I got the email from Ed Mylett, who said, hey, I really want you to be on my podcast. I've read your book. I love your book. This is what I want to talk about the, you know, from your book. Are you interested? And I said, nothing, actually. I didn't even respond to the email. Because at that point, I'd been on all these podcasts. Nothing had ever moved the needle. And I was just like, oh, God, like, give me a real sign, right? A couple days later, I get another email from him. And he was like, no, I'm really serious. I really want to have you on the podcast. You know, the podcast is pretty new, but I've interviewed all these people and I haven't had a woman on, and I really want you to be the first woman on the show. And I thought, okay, fine. So I responded and I was like, yeah, you know, that sounds good. And he immediately called me and we had a conversation that lasted 7 minutes that changed my life, honest to God. And when I hung up the phone, I knew it changed my life. I knew it was one of those pivotal conversations that I would never forget. I remember looking him up on Instagram. And the most recent post that he had posted was a video talking about how your life can change in a day and how you never know how that's going to show up. It could show up in the form of a meeting. It could show up in the form of a door opening, but never give up because your life can change in a day. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, that's what just happened to me. And our interview aired on Valentine's Day, February 14th, 2018, and it changed my life. My book, Hustle, Believe, Receive, went, by that point, had been out for 2 years, and it went from unranked on Amazon to number one in all of its categories that day. I booked in that day double what I had made the entire previous year in clients and speaking and whatnot. And I remember thinking, this is why you don't give up. This is why you don't give up, right? Because you just never know when your break is right around the corner. And thank God I was ready. Thank God I had spent the previous year building the infrastructure in my business so that I could say yes to the clients who were calling and ready to work with me. And that has been a story that has repeated in multiple ways as my business has grown. There's been multiple times when I've grown out a team and then had to, you know, bring it back down. There's COVID changed a ton for me. In 2020, I had the most bookings, speaking engagements, and three international speaking engagements booked. I had more bookings in speaking than I had made in corporate at my highest payment ever. So 2020 was about to be a killer year. I had a big tour across the country that that I was putting on myself. And then we all know what happened. And that first week, when all of that canceled, every bit of that income went away. And everyone who bought tickets for my tour wanted refunds. And I thought, oh my God, I can't do this. How am I going to do this? Part of what I'm going to share, some of the lessons that I'm going to share, is if you have your end vision so strong and you have your why so strong, when adversity comes, it fucking sucks. Of course it does. There's definitely a part of you that wants to throw a pity party. And for sure I did. That week was not a good week. But then you come right back and you say, well, what can I do now? How do I continue to do the thing that I do now? Right. And pivoting because of COVID and going online and, you know, taking all of my programs online actually wound up being one of the best things for my business. Changed my business in an amazing way. By the end of 2020, it wound up being one of my strongest years ever, 2021 as well. So everything just grew exponentially after that. But there has been a lot of adversity along the way. I mean, really transparent in this. It is a little scary, you know, to just come out and put everything out there. But I think it's really important that you know that this is what it actually looks like on the back end of running a business, of following your passion, of doing your thing full time, of leaving the security of a paycheck to try and make a living at the thing that you love. Okay, so before I jump into all of my tips, which I have also summarized here in the notes for you, so you can come back to them, I just want to remind you to pause this really quick and go out and leave a review of the podcast on whatever platform you're listening to. You have no idea how much that helps my mission. It's just one of those ways that you can give back, and it's super, super appreciated. Lastly, if you want to work with me on taking your business to the next level or anything in your life, you can go to sarahcentrella.com/coaching, and I'll put that link here as well, to apply to work with me one-on-one. All right, so let's jump right into some of the top lessons that I've learned over the last 7 years as an entrepreneur who started a business with zero funding, zero savings, no income, three kids to support, absolutely no experience whatsoever, no visibility into what it was like to be a business owner. I didn't know anyone who owned a business, and definitely not one person. When I started this, I didn't know one person who was out there trying to make a living off of anything public. So back then, it was really only referred to as being an influencer. That was still really new, people making money on that. There wasn't a real standard business model for even coaches or authors or speakers, none of that. It was never an option on any of the business forms that I filled out. It just, I was reinventing the wheel on every possible front with just no knowledge. And so I've learned a lot over that time. But the first one is you have to have a clear vision of where you want your business to go. That is the most critical thing. And it has to light you up. It has to excite you in a way that very few things ever have excited you. In other words, you need to see what the final best case possible scenario could be for your business 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road. Most entrepreneurs, especially ones that are starting a small business or turning a passion into a business, are really only thinking about maybe the first year, but honestly, probably even less than that, or probably just focusing on what they're doing right now and have a very vague idea of what their big picture is or their big vision. And that's a huge, huge mistake. So you have to be able to scope out what is possible for your business long-term in a way that makes all of this actually worth it, honestly. And so for me, when I started out, I really went big on my vision. I completely built out a new life and a new lifestyle of what I wanted to create, both for myself and my family, but also the impact that I wanted to have on the world. And my business has multiple components. It has the speaking side, it has coaching, and then it has courses as kind of the primary sources. And so having that clear vision of how all of those work together and what I was trying to create for myself, and then how I wanted to grow it and build name recognition, be able to grow it via coaches, things like that. All of that was really, really critical to being able to do any of the kind of day-to-day business stuff. So my challenge for you is, best case scenario, where would your business be in 10 years? In other words, are you building something that you hope to be able to sell and have an exit strategy from in 10 to 15 years? And if so, it better be a life-changing amount of money that you hope to get from that exit, okay? Or have you thought about expanding instead of creating this, you know, maybe a one office or doing one product? What if you know, had your products in, I don't know, Walmart, Costco, Target, whatever? What if you had franchises all across the country? So really think humongous, right? Think, what is the best possible thing that could happen if my business completely took off in a way that I never expected? When it comes to vision, go big or go home. And the more time that you think about that vision and daydream about it and really start to translate what some of those goals are into what it would feel like, what the moment would be like, how it's going to impact your life and your family, the more motivated you're going to be to go after it. And that really comes down to the next piece of that, which is, why do I want any of this in the first place? In other words, what is my why? Why would I leave a solid job or a solid career to go do something that is not tested yet, that I don't have all the experience in, that I'm starting from scratch? What is my why? Why will it change my life? Why will it impact my family? Why will it maybe change my day-to-day or quality of life? That, all those components, you need to really flesh those out. Think about those. So if you don't, you're going to create a business that is not sustainable long-term, because if you don't understand what it is that is valuable to you and why you're doing it in the first place, then you're going to make decisions that are setting you way off course. So an example would be, if you want to leave a 9-to-5 because it's super structured and maybe you don't like the environment or whatever, and you want to work for yourself, you're thinking, yeah, I want to work from anywhere. So if that's what you've identified is really important to you and part of your reasoning for wanting to do this in the first place, then that has to be something that you are implementing and practicing really on day one. I mean, obviously, when you're getting a business off the ground, you're going to be working a whole lot more than you ideally will in a couple of years, but you have to keep that center point very strong, and you have to identify what you want that lifestyle to look like. So that's what you would wind up putting on a future board if you're making a future board of your future business. you're saying like, hey, I want to have the time to pick up my kids from school. Cool. I want to put that on my board so that I'm reminded that that is always important to me. That's part of my why. In other words, I don't want to create a life as an entrepreneur where I'm a total workaholic and I can't do any of the stuff that I originally quit my job to do this for. So all of that clarity in the beginning is super important. It helps you make decisions. It helps you stay aligned as you grow and as your business evolves. All right. So the next one is be willing to sacrifice everything. And, you know, maybe you're in a different position. Maybe you have funding for your business. Maybe you have a spouse that has a full-time job. So you doing this is not a huge impact on your family. If so, that's amazing. If you have money to invest in your business on day one, amazing. Count yourself lucky. I know many people who do not. I certainly didn't. But if it's something that you truly want, and if that why is super clear and that end vision is incredibly exciting to you and you see it super clearly, then you are willing to make those sacrifices. You're willing to scale back. So like I said, when that first year, when my income literally evaporated, I had to sit my kids down and say, hey guys, you know, I want to be honest with you. This is what mom's dream and plan is, and this is what I'm doing. And I want to know if you guys are okay with that, because it's probably going to mean that you're not going to get new shoes for a year, or you're not going to be able to buy the school lunch or whatever the case is. And so we all absolutely made sacrifices. I cut back every possible thing I could cut back that wasn't a bare, bare necessity. And along the way, I've made many various sacrifices throughout building my business. But again, it's because my end vision is so strong and I'm so bought into it and I believe it so clearly. And I know that it is ultimately my golden ticket. It's what I was put on the planet to do. And I know that its potential is larger than any job I could ever take. And so I'm willing to make those sacrifices initially, knowing that there's a long-term payoff with that. All right, the next one, you've got to be willing to fail a lot. And I do mean a lot, okay? I cannot even begin to count how many products or services or events or ideas or books even that I have put countless hours into, built from complete scratch, launched, and they just flopped. They failed. They didn't take. All of that felt like it was for nothing. All of that felt like I just fell on my face in front of the world. All of it initiated the voices in my head that said, you're no good at this. You suck at this. Everyone is better at this than you. You're never going to succeed. You're never going to be successful. Yep. All those voices live loud and clear in my head too. And when I would have those moments of just total defeat, feel like utter failure, that is when I would go back to my future board and say, this is why I'm doing this. I would go back to that vision. This is why I'm doing this. Because even if there's a 1% chance that I can live this ultimate version of this dream, it's better than what any employer will ever give me. So again, that's why it's so important. And I will be very, very honest right now. This is something that I've never publicly shared, but I think it is important. In 2019, I had done three kind of large scale events for women in Portland. They were huge events, very, very costly. Did not think through the ticket price or how to sell them or any of that. On all three of them, I wound up massively upside down. So not only was I just learning how to get my business off the ground so that it was, you know, bringing in any revenue to support my family, but then I was doing these events year after year that were financially disastrous for me, disastrous. And after the last one where I lost, I had to file bankruptcy. And there's nothing that feels like failure more than that, especially how hard I had worked to rebuild my life from a financial standpoint, rebuild my credit after my divorce, just all of that stuff. Nothing felt worse than that. I truly wanted to quit and give up. I felt like the biggest failure in the world. I mean, I had amazing, you know, speakers at these events that I had you know, flown in for them. And here I was just utterly failing. They were not profitable. They were not making it sustainable for me to live and do that. And I think there was, you know, definitely a time in there where I questioned everything, but I came back to that vision again. And I said, okay, if this is a sacrifice that I have to make, if this is a, you know, failure that I have to stare down, then I'm going to get back up and I'm going to figure out how to never do that again. I'm going to learn from these lessons. I'm going to change many, many things, and I'm going to come back and figure out what does work, and I'm going to focus on that. So don't think that everybody out there who's doing this is a success on day one. You know, 18 months, 2 years into my business, it was not successful. I was losing money. I was bleeding money. Okay. But that leads me into my next point, which is focus on what is working. So I remember after that, totally feeling down for a month or two, then coming back and saying, okay, well, what is working? What is selling? What do clients love? Where do clients get the biggest wins? What is the part of my business that I love doing the most? And that came back to coaching. I loved coaching. I've always loved coaching. I love the one-on-one interaction. I love being able to see a client make dramatic changes. I love helping them do that, all that. So I came back and I just focused on that. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it better than anybody else. And so if you're going through anything in your business where you're like, hey, I'm trying all these different things and they're not working, and that's making you question everything like it did me, I want you to take a beat, breathe through that, go back to your vision, and then ask yourself, well, something I'm doing is working, or else I wouldn't even have come this far. So what's the one thing I'm doing that's working? What's the one thing that's selling? What's the one thing that clients love? And throw all of your focus and energy just behind that one thing until it lifts you and lifts the business to a place where then you can expand again and follow up on other ideas and do other things. And that was advice that I wish someone had told me on day one of my business, and I didn't have to learn it in such painful ways. Another big important one is don't listen to all the advice that's out there. You're going to hear so much advice. Oh my God, there's business coaches every time I'm scrolling, and you know, tons of them are completely amazing and incredible and all that. And then there's going to be advice of people who are in your niche, have a well-established business in your niche, and everybody has advice, right? This podcast right now, me is giving you advice. But it is super important that you know how to filter that advice for you. Okay? Because people are going to share ideally what it is they did that worked for them. Then you'll kind of get some industry standards that show up in everybody's stuff. Pay attention to that. So if there's one piece of advice that everyone is putting out there and everyone agrees on, then that's probably some advice to listen to and implement. But it can very quickly turn to noise in your head, and it is one of the fastest ways to get sucked into that imposter syndrome thing and to just completely lock down and not do anything. And that's the worst thing for an entrepreneur or business owner. You can't afford to do that. You don't have the luxury of sitting around doing nothing, okay? And so if listening to all the advice, reading all the books, listening to all the podcasts is overwhelming and just sounds like a ton of crap, pull out three things. The three things that literally everyone says, and try to implement one of the three. When you get it down and you got it working, great. Go back and implement the next one or the next one. But don't think you have to do what everyone is telling you to do all at once and implement it immediately. It's just too much. Especially if in the beginning you're a solopreneur and you're doing most of this by yourself, which the first 2 years I was completely on my own doing all this by myself in a vacuum. It's a lot. So along with that, I would say one of the things that really helped me was I muted a lot of accounts. I muted most of the accounts of the people that I followed who had advice like that or who were doing a similar business as me. And the reason why is because, especially when you're starting out, you're still trying to find your thing. your audience, your niche, your voice, if you will, your individual thoughts, all of that is important, at least if you're doing a business like this, coaching or consulting or any of that stuff, right? If you're a product-based business, that might be different. But in a business like mine, it was really almost damaging to be surrounded by that all the time, surrounded by how people were doing who had been at it for 10 years longer than me, 5 years longer than me. It wasn't healthy mentally to constantly feel like, oh my God, I'm never going to get to that level or whatever. So muting it initially just really helped me to kind of be clear on what it was that how I want to show up, stay authentic to myself, do things the way that I want to do them because that's just who I am, and not kind of be so influenced by all of that all the time. And to this day, for the most part, you know, I follow a lot of the leaders that are my friends and are in this industry as well and that I look up to, but I'm not constantly absorbing content all the time because I still want to keep my voice authentic. I want it to be what I teach and from my experiences. But having said that, when I want to learn about something, so right now I'm learning a lot about emotional intelligence and relationships and dating, and I'm working with some clients on that. So then I will deep dive into it. I want to learn as much as I can. And I love that. And I'm always growing and expanding from that capacity, but I don't want to be continuously inundated and surrounded by things that will maybe influence me in a way that I don't want to be influenced. Another one, this is super important. Don't worry about doing everything the right way. First of all, you're not going to do everything the right way. That's just life. And if this, you know, being an entrepreneur or having a business is something you're serious about and it's your full-time gig, you got to get out there and you got to try. And like I said before, be willing to fail. A lot of the things that you're going to put out there might not be perfect, might not be right, but it is so much better for you to just do that than to sit on the sidelines and wait until it is. That's a total stalling technique. That is a block that could be a worthiness block. You just can't afford to do that as an entrepreneur. You have to get out there. You have to put your ideas out. You have to see what works. Just by sitting around waiting for everything to be like how you envision it or to be as perfect as the other people that you follow is just, it's ridiculous. It's going to lock you up. There's not just one way. There's not just a right way. It does not have to be perfect. Just get it out there. Learn from it. Adapt. Do better the next time. And that's how you grow. I mean, so much of being an entrepreneur is continuous growth. I cannot tell you how many times that I have pivoted and grown my team, and then, you know, gone a different direction and downsized my team. It's constantly flexing, constantly growing. You're following new ideas, you're learning more, and your business is going to reflect that. You're going to grow and you're going to change, and that's okay. And that brings me to my last piece of advice, which might be the most important of all, which is just start. Just start. I hope some of that resonated with you. I hope it inspired you and was also honest and true so that you, A, if you're an entrepreneur already, if you related to some of that, I hope you feel less alone, because I know that through much of this journey over the last 7 years, I have felt very alone. I have felt very much in a bubble or a vacuum where I just went round and round in my head about some of this stuff. I don't want someone else to feel that way. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to come on and share all of this, because I think it's important that we have real and honest conversations about what this life is really like. I also want to say it is the best decision I ever made. Even on the worst days, there's never been a day that I've regretted it. There has never been a day where I wished I was back in the 9-to-5. This has been the most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life, without a doubt. It is what I was created to do. I know that. I love it with all of my heart. I pray that it has made an impact in your life. I hope that it has. And if it has, I would love it if you would let me know and comment on the stories in my feed and on Instagram. Share this podcast, save it. Come back and listen to it multiple times throughout your journey so that you don't feel alone, and take any of it, the advice that applies to you, and leave the rest. honestly. All right, until next time, get out there and hustle and thrive.
Thanks for listening. And remember, if you got value from today's show, please spread the love by clicking subscribe, leaving a stellar review, and telling everyone you know. And join us next time on the Sarah Centrella Show.